You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Want to join in on the conversation? Call or text 855-75-CIVIC. Now back to Brian and Jamie.
It's 8:06 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on the Civic Media Network. That's a good song. I like that bumper music. That's a good bumper song. We appreciate you being here this morning. I am Jamie Martinson.
Hi, I'm Brian Noonan. We're glad you're here. If you want to jump in, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Boy, I put out a jive voice for that, and I don't know why.
Went into the old sure school the radio voice.
You do. I'm going to hit the post at some point today.
Okay.
But listen, we can't stress this enough. If you're bothered by it, trust us, so are we. But we're telling you this for a good reason. Go download, if you haven't already, the Civic Media app. Because not only can you listen wherever you are on this planet and perhaps others, I've never traveled outside of our galaxy, so I can't speak to that factually. But you can listen everywhere. You can listen to our show. You can listen to great, great interviews. Maybe you want to hear us talk about voting laws or gerrymandering or whatever it is. We have great guests come on, and you can find all of those interviews there. But really, you want to know, Brian, Jamie, what's in it for me, the listener? Why do I really need this? I don't want to listen to you while I'm strolling through a department store. I like listening on the radio. Good. We love you, old school people. But
cash
and
prizes.
Come Monday, Jamie. Come cash and
prizes. Cash and prizes. That's all I need to say. Cash and prizes. We're going to start another multi-state text to win contest. You're going to have multiple chances to qualify throughout the day. And daily prizes of cash, big grand prize winner. But you can only qualify through the app. We'll, of course, give you more details as we get closer. But for right now, go get your app, live it, love it, learn it, and be ready to use it on Monday, because we want you to qualify for, again, cash and prizes.
Did you just live, laugh, love the
I
Civic
did.
Media app?
I did.
That's fantastic.
I'm having major technical difficulties.
I thought you fast-timed it at Ridgemont High.
Both.
I'm having major
technical difficulties in here. My headphones keep switching from stereo to mono, so this is the craziest thing happening in my head right now, but we'll fix it
later.
I'm
sorry. I'm pranking you, because sometimes I only talk out of one side of my mouth, and that's throwing everybody off.
I don't know actually what's happening, but it's very strange. We'll fix it during a commercial break. The good part is I can still participate in the conversation, sort of.
But only half the time.
That's right.
So
it's fine.
Parker, please put all my audio in the left channel. So Jamie starts screaming. What happened?
It's very strange right now.
Frank asked if she went full Mr. Hand. Well, Frank, no shirt, no shoes, no dice.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High, by the way, great movie, just saying. But we do have more politics.
Did you ever see that one, Parker?
I have no idea what any of you are talking about.
I've never
wanted to get to politics so badly.
All right, here's something else you could do. We're going to get into this story about a political struggle over state settlement funds, and I know you're on the edge of your seat going, thank God. But here's something. We are putting together a list. Our young, intrepid producer, Parker, doesn't get 99.7% of the references that the three of us make.
It's very true.
Jamie, Frank, and I will make a reference, and Parker won't get it. So a lot of them are film-related. If you have a film that you think Parker should watch, please text it to us or put it in socials in a comment, and we're going to develop a list, Parker's movie list. They're required that Parker watch to maintain his employment here on this program.
Is that your list? Oh, my God. It's such a long list.
Oh, you have a list already?
Yeah. Oh, no. I've been, making this for a while. Yeah.
All right. Well, folks, you can add to it, too.
Yeah, add to it, too. Please. We would like for you to add to it, because we might already have it on the list, but we got to make sure we cover all of our bases here. I mean, Parker, if you're going to be on this show, you got to understand where we're coming from with some of this.
Yes, I understand. I feel bad sometimes.
Because really,
it goes over my head.
Some of our references are brilliant, and you are not getting them. And
you're not appreciating how awesome I am. I need you to understand me better.
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
Essentially.
And I agree.
I do. I need you to get with the program, pal.
All right. I'm with it.
All right.
I'll get there.
Listen, speaking of getting with the program, enough frivolity. We've had gibberish. We've had glibness.
Right.
Now we have to get to money.
The real
stuff.
The
Wisconsin Supreme Court heard arguments over who controls money from multi-state legal settlements that involve the state. Uh-oh. The dispute is between the Republican-controlled legislature and Democratic Attorney General Josh Call.
Yeah.
And it all stems from lame duck laws, Jamie. And right. I know you are chomping at the bit to explain lame duck
laws. Love the lame duck laws because they're fun to talk about. ridiculous in process and procedure. But
they're fun to say.
But it goes back to 2018. And this all basically has to do with the argument of where settlement money must go into the state's general fund, which lawmakers control. Now, the legislature actually sued Call in 2021, claiming he improperly deposited settlement funds into a Department of Justice account instead. Now, he says his office followed the law. They placed the money in the state treasury and used it for legal costs and related enforcement programs. Initially, a judge in Polk County ruled in favor of Call. The Wisconsin Court of Appeals overturned that decision 2 years ago, though, siding with the legislature. So Call then asked the Wisconsin Supreme Court to review this particular case. Justices from both sides during the arguments questioned both legal teams, with one justice saying the issue may have been overcomplicated. You think?
That's scary when a Supreme Court justice goes, hey, right. It's a little complicated for me, brother.
Right.
I don't know.
But you mentioned it, Brian. This all stems back to what has been a bigger fight of lame duck laws passed in 2018 before Governor Evers and Call took office, which limited the powers of the incoming Democrats. So let's go back to 2018 for just a moment, in case we forgot about how we got here. Because these lame duck laws were passed in December of 2018 by the Republican-controlled legislature, and they were signed by then-outgoing Republican Governor Scott Walker. And of course, Robin Voss, major player in coming up with these lame duck laws. They were passed after the 2018 election, but before newly elected Democrats took office, including Evers and Call. The legislation included three separate laws. They were Acts 363, 69, and 370. The goal of the laws was to shift power away from the governor and attorney general to give more authority to the legislature. In fact, one provision required the attorney general to get approval from the legislature's Joint Finance Committee before settling certain lawsuits. Another provision allowed the legislature to step into lawsuits and hire private attorneys, using taxpayer money to defend state laws instead of relying on the attorney general. The laws also gave lawmakers more authority to block or delay administrative rules and policy changes proposed by state agencies. And in some cases, the executive branch would even have to ask the legislature for permission before making changes to programs like Medicaid or other public benefit programs.
If I may quote the Supreme Court, this is getting overcomplicated.
It essentially, to break it all down, took the power out of Governor Evers and Josh Call's hands and put it straight back into the Republican-controlled legislature. That's essentially what those lame duck laws did. Now, here's the problem that I would foresee with this, right? Obviously, multiple problems on how state government runs. It's no longer efficient. You're giving one party much more power than the other one. Is this Republican-controlled legislature going to be okay with these lame duck laws, let's say, by chance, if Tom Tiffany would win the governorship later this year? Or would we see a complete reversal of all lame duck laws?
This is a tricky question. I'm going to give it a little more thought. I'm going to say no.
You could essentially bet that even as many strides as we've made, this is just me thinking out loud, as many strides as we've made in fairer maps and making a dent in the numbers of Democrats versus Republicans sitting in the state legislature, the Republicans are still going to probably have the majority, even if we make even more of a dent at some point. I do not foresee this legislature being okay with these lame duck laws that were so wildly and quickly pushed through under Scott Walker to hamper Tom Tiffany in the same way they were meant to tie the hands of Governor Evers and Josh Call.
It's funny how that goose and gander thing comes into play a lot in politics when you go, oh, wait, we put these are going to work against us too?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how it goes, friends. It's a law.
It is.
Doesn't matter who's in power. So live with the decisions and the choices that you have made.
I think it's interesting because, you know, in 2024, we saw so many people sit out of that general election for various reasons. Republicans, yeah. Democrats. We saw people have various reasons for not wanting to vote in that election.
None of them good.
And none of them are good, whether it was they didn't like Kamala's laugh, whether they thought she was too much of a war hawk, whether they thought she wasn't going to be good to Palestine, whether she...
Can I go back to something? Too much of a war hawk?
Right.
Just checking. Okay.
The irony. I get it. There's irony involved.
Oh, where's Alanis when we need her?
But here, well, that song didn't actually have anything to do with irony at all. If you listen, English major, that song bothers me a ton.
You and just about anybody else who ever took an English class. But
digression.
The reference is apt because the whole song is about being
irony.
That's Alanis Morissette.
This is one of those things where you have to look at why voting actually matters, right? And why it makes a difference. Because you look at the state of Wisconsin just as the for instance of why elections matter.
Yes.
One election controlled who controlled the governor's office, and the response was to literally scramble to rewrite the rules before the new administration even walked through the door, had even been sworn in. And if you care about what happens in your state, if you're somebody who cares about these programs like Medicaid, SNAP benefits, potentially expanding Badger Care, if you care about the Get Ready program that we talked about earlier today, you got to get out there and vote. You have to, because voters, not politicians, are deciding how government works. They should not have
and
a this much power.
When does early voting start for the primary, Jamie? Let's remind folks.
It is March 24th when early voting starts, with, of course, the Supreme Court election coming up on April 7th. So
that's a week from Tuesday, early voting starts. St. Patrick's Day, have a couple of pints, vote drunk. That's my new slogan. Vote drunk. It's not gonna get any traction, but you know.
Yeah.
And please don't vote drunk.
No, don't vote drunk.
Don't vote drunk.
Unless that's the only way you can literally stomach.
I listen to that guy on Daybreak, and he makes some good points. He doesn't know where to get an app, but he knows how to, you know, voting drunk. At least it takes that bad taste out of my mouth when I have to close my eyes and just pick. But either way, that's.
I think this is going to be an interesting case, and for the record, the Supreme Court with Josh Call has not made a ruling on who ultimately controls the settlement money yet. That is still in deliberations. But I think how after the court's ideological balance changed, new rulings in 2025 and 2026 have struck down several parts of these lame duck laws that were passed in 2018. Again, why you should get to the polls and actually cast a vote. In fact, in June of last year, the Wisconsin Supreme Court unanimously ruled that requiring legislative approval before settling certain lawsuits violated the separation of powers. Huh, weird when you look at it from the actual law of it all instead of the politics of it all. There are still several legal fights that are ongoing with these lame duck laws, though, including questions about the legislature hiring private lawyers and who controls, obviously, the settlement money, mm-hmm. which we're going to probably, hear a little bit about until we get a full official ruling. But, you know, some parts of the lame duck rules are still in place, including certain legislative powers over capital security and also specific appointment authority.
Well, good for them getting it done, and bad for them if they ever lose.
All in all, Evers has been fairly successful, even with these laws.
Yes, even with them. When we come back, we mentioned the other day that the January 6th plaque finally went up in the Capitol. But where did they put it, and why is it now the focus of a lawsuit? We'll get to that and more. This is Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan.
It's 8:19. I am Jamie Martinson. You are listening to the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Lake Superior to Lake Michigan. This is Wisconsin's Morning Conversation. Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning, and thank you so much for joining us on the Civic Media Network. I am Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan, 855-75-PACIFIC, 855-752-4842 is how you get a hold of the show. Don't forget, we do want to hear your suggestions for Parker and his young man movie list, so we got to get him up to date so he can understand what the olds on the program are talking about.
Is there one?
And olds is anything over, what, 26?
Well, yeah, he's a whole whopping 22 in there. Yeah. Is there any movie on that list so far that you've looked at that you're like, ooh, I should probably like get to that one right away? Anything that intrigues you enough?
I would really like to see Naked Gun.
Well, that's because of the title.
Yeah.
It's probably not
They're
as exciting
not naked
as you think.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. There's some stuff in there.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right.
If you're going to do Naked Gun.
Yeah.
Go back and watch the TV series that the movie is based on.
There was a
Go
TV
watch
series?
The Leslie Nielsen Naked Gun
I didn't know there was
stories.
A TV
there was
Police
a TV series. Oh my God, that we was... just made his job so much harder. Look at his face now. He oh,
Parker,
like,
that's so much
you get to see
that's
the
so much
fine,
more content.
The fine acting of O.J. Simpson.
Yes.
Oh wait, I did see that actually.
Okay.
Doesn't he get like? Oh, they think he gets killed in the beginning, right? On a boat. It was like a drug deal or something.
I don't
Am
know
I explaining
that,
a different
he was
movie?
In, he was a regular cast member of the original series.
Are you thinking Miami
which is
Vice
very,
for
it's
the
not
80s?
A lot of episodes.
I have no idea.
Okay.
So you'll be able to be able to catch it. You'll
it
be able
be
to
It would be ironic
catch
if he played someone who got killed.
Well, nobody could predict what was to come.
That's true.
He was beloved. Beloved.
He was.
We talked about this the other day. After years of haggling, they finally put up a plaque in the Capitol to commemorate the January 6th insurrection and to honor the law enforcement personnel who were part of it. Well, two police officers have now, these two police officers who defended the Capitol during the attack, they're asking a federal judge to allow their lawsuit to continue over how the memorial plaque was installed. The Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn and D.C. Police Officer Daniel Hodges filed this lawsuit after Congress missed a legal deadline to install the plaque, which is now basically hidden from public view. It's up. It's on a wall.
Right.
But nobody sees it.
Big surprise of how this administration would handle it. But Congress actually passed a bipartisan law back in 2022 requiring that this plaque be placed at the Capitol within 1 year to honor the law enforcement response to the attack. And instead, the plaque sat in a Capitol basement for years before finally being installed. So workers from the architect of the Capitol installed the plaque around 4 a.m. on a Saturday, Brian, bolting it inside a hallway on the west side of the building. The problem, according to Dunn and Hodges, is that the plaque is not located along any public tour route, meaning most visitors are never going to see it. Well, it depends. Are they taking a tour from their legislator, who we know likes to show them secret staircases in the Capitol? I digress
right,
to January
Captain,
6th.
Captain Conspiracy. I don't believe any of that.
It's hard to have a conspiracy when it's on video of people in those corridors with their... Anyway, again...
Wow, you bring in receipts. All right.
Whatever. We parse the details, the factual details. But the attorneys for the officers argue that the placement violates both the letter and the spirit of the law, which was meant to essentially recognize the officers who defended the Capitol. The law specified that the plaque should be placed on the western front of the Capitol in a permanent location. The officers believe that means outside or somewhere clearly visible to the public. Well, yes.
Yes.
That
as right as people are at the main door, the doors we saw being battered down by tourists just coming for a tour of the Capitol.
Yeah.
Right where that was happening, that's where this needs to go. And here's the problem as far as the Republicans are concerned. If we mount this in a public place, one, we have to keep walking past it,
right,
being the Republicans who are denying that was an insurrection. Two, it's an admission by this administration and this government that was something violent, that we need to commemorate the officers for defending a place that was not under attack. You can't have – how can we honor somebody for defending something that was never attacked? So it doesn't – I'm surprised they even put it in a hallway. I thought it would be like in a closet somewhere or in the handicap stall in the staff bathroom in the basement.
Now, here's the thing, too, I think about this, is this is respect for the 140 officers who were injured on that particular day. And we cannot downplay or rewrite what happened on January 6th, no matter what this GOP would like us or what this president would like us to actually believe happened. We saw it. We watched it with our own eyes play out in real time. It was like a snowball effect happening that day as we all watched it live. And this is essentially for the officers who put their lives on the line that day. And January 6th will always be an ugly blemish on this country's history. Always. Mm-hmm. But there is also nothing to hide, because at some point we have to acknowledge and also learn from our history. And that is what this plaque does. And interestingly enough, there's a QR code next to this plaque that links to a 45-page list of officers and agencies that responded. But obviously, you're never going to see that and you're never going to be able to click on that QR code because of the fact that it is hidden in that west wing area on a granite hallway that nobody ever goes down.
I thought we backed the blue. Isn't that the whole thing where you got to back the blue unless we're beating them to death?
I was very confused on that particular day, considering that had been a mantra of that administration for months leading into January 6th. I was very confused on that particular day. I was confused by the people who had told me for months and months, not only from the campaign, but from the followers of the and the backers of this campaign, that I was supposed to defend and back the blue, and then to see them doing the exact opposite. I was very confused that day.
It just takes the tragedy of that day to another level. And it's a day that, if you watched it, which most of us did, you'll never forget. There's certain days like that that are etched into your memory. And the fact that our government and the seat of our government was attacked by our citizens at allegedly the behest of our president is still unfathomable to me. But we keep rolling along. The president has not been clear on explaining how this will. We'll talk about it in some civic media.
Now back to more of Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
It's 8:35 right now. We hope that you are having a great Thursday. Thank you so much for joining us. If you're listening in Eau Claire on 93.5 The Tap, or in La Crosse on WLCX, or in Appleton and Oshkosh on WISS, just a few of the stations that you can catch us on this morning. We are glad that you are here. I am Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Don't put away your winter clothes just yet. Cold weather and possibly snow coming across Wisconsin.
Have you seen any robins yet?
No, but my daffodils started blooming the other day.
Oh, okay.
I was like, what is it? Are these weeds? And I went, oh, no, that's where the daffodils come up. They're going to be dead after this weekend.
We're living in that very weird time of year where it doesn't know if it's going to be spring or winter, and we just suffer the consequences because we are hardy Midwesterners and we say we like it, and let's be real, we don't. Nobody likes this time of year, no.
We also don't like when a plan is not fully thought out.
Right.
As a country, especially when it comes to war, and a president who can't really envision the end of the war because he didn't really give us any reason why we got into the war, and he keeps changing his mind. Now, he's gone, if you haven't been listening, and I don't blame you if sometimes you have to tune out. He has cycled from calls for unconditional surrender to sounding amenable to an end state in which Iran trades one hardline Ayatollah for another, which they already did, that we're bombing them and he will decide when it all ends. But we don't really know how or when or why this is going to end, other than the presidential whims, which doesn't seem like a plan more than a toddler having a tantrum.
Right.
So it's starting to get confusing. And even some Republicans now are like, what's the end game here?
Well, and I think it also adds to the confusion when he says one thing and within an hour his aides come out to a podium and say something completely different. Then he speaks later that day and says yet the opposite of what they said and what he said earlier in the morning. So it's this never-ending cycle. Oh. And honestly, this is a 12-day conflict and nobody is budging. Even though this administration says that Iran Japan is depleted. They've lost all of their navy. They're not budging. The attacks continue. 14 countries are now embroiled into this. There's this unpredictable path, and the end game is essentially unclear. But we have Pete Hegseth, who keeps marching out to a podium.
Pete.
And, of course, Defense Secretary keeps saying that Trump has it all under control. And, in fact, earlier this week at when he addressed the nation at the press conference with the Joint Chief of Staff, he said that the timeline for this entire war is completely up to the president. Let's hear from Pete Hegseth, please.
Where we are is in a very strong place, giving the president of the United States maximum options. And from the beginning, from this podium, we haven't stated how long it will take. Our will is endless. Ultimately, the president gets to determine the end state of those objectives, right? But what he's said continually, and I want the American people to understand, is this is not endless. It's not protracted. We're not allowing mission creep. The president has set a very specific mission to accomplish. And our job is to unrelentingly deliver that. Now, he gets to control the throttle. He's the one deciding. He's the one elected on behalf of the American people when we're achieving those particular objectives. And so it's not for me to posit whether it's the beginning, the middle, or the end. That's his. And he'll continue to communicate that.
Okay.
Here's a little breaking news.
Yeah.
Parker Senate, I had just seen it. The AP put this out. ABC News has put this out. Iran's new supreme leader says that Iran will level the closing of, they're going to use this closing of the Strait of Hormuz as leverage. I don't know what this headline is. And that attacks on neighboring Gulf Arab countries are going to continue. So much for the apology that was issued the other day from Iran. No
right.
surprise there either that
no.
Iran is not being forthcoming when they
no.
talk. But yeah, so this, again, it goes back to, what was our plan?
Mm-hmm.
We had no plan for this. We did not think that they would close the Strait of Hormuz,
right,
and that it would cast the world into an economic crisis.
Right.
If we didn't think that out, it shows again how unqualified our leaders are about this kind of thing. But you listen to Pete. We're given a maximum options. What are maximum options? You mean multiple options? You mean, yeah, okay. And then this week, Donald Trump spoke at a Republican gathering, and he said, in the short term, things could be a little dicey. We don't know. Cut 7.
Our country is doing really well. I mean, at a level that nobody thought. We took a little excursion because we felt we had to do that to get rid of some evil. And I think you'll see it's going to be a short-term excursion. How good is our military, right? Amazing. How good? Short-term. And because of Republicans, you people in Congress, the United States has by far the strongest and most powerful military on the face of the earth. We're the strongest military anywhere in the earth, and now everybody understands. Together with our Israeli partners, we're crushing the enemy in an overwhelming display of technical skill and military force.
No, Gilligan, you're not taking a three-hour tour.
Right.
And first of all, the world knew the strength of the United States military.
Right.
That was beyond question. And that is the cheapest, and I've seen, being a performer, I've seen everybody, that is... Hey, how about that military, folks? Hey, it's great to be in Madison. Hey, it's a pandering applause
right.
line that if it didn't get applause, I would have been more shocked than the fact that he actually used it to pander to this group to, you know, to deflect away from what's really happening. Because who's not going to clap for, hey, how about our military?
Right. And is it a little shocking to hear the president kind of explain this like he went on a vacation and he
yeah.
decided to detour from the itinerary and go over to the town just a little off for a couple days just to, you know, it's shocking because this is a war.
It goes back to the cavalier attitude of the service people, American servicemen and women were
right.
dying. Hey, that's what happens. That's we took a little excursion. You know, we were there. The resort was a little boring. So one day we went snorkeling. It was a little excursion. Took it over. Short term. We came back. Short term excursion. Frank from Poinette texts in. He's listening to WXCO. He says, it's a toss-up on which one is worse to listen to, Trump or Pete.
Mm.
Yeah, that's true.
Well,
it's easier to laugh at Pete.
It is.
Because he's not the one making the final decision.
He's not.
Trump is scarier
and
to listen to.
And he also has, you know, Pete also has some generals yet with morals and career abilities and around him to help guide things. It feels like the president's just at a podium with no guardrails whatsoever. Now, because on Monday in that same press conference and same speech he gave to Republicans, he essentially said that we've won this war, but not enough. Cut eight, please.
We've already won in many ways, but we haven't won enough.
So we're winning very decisively. We're way ahead of schedule. Our military is the greatest in the world, with the greatest equipment and the greatest people in the world. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. We're very proud to be involved in this, and it's going to be ended soon. And if it starts up again, they'll be hit even harder.
Is he like a coach that's running up the score? Is that because once you've won, by definition, you have defeated your opponent.
Right.
So you can only win one way. You either won or you didn't win.
I mean, here's the thing. How much more are we going to, and I'm going to put this in air quotes, win? The oil prices
Jamie, you're not going to be able to handle all the winning. There's so much winning.
Oil prices are skyrocketing. The Strait of Hormuz is still closed. That carries 20% of the world's oil, not to mention most of the trade routes run through the Strait of Hormuz. So we are talking about inflated gas prices. We're talking about inflated shipping costs. We are talking about the price of goods as we know them every day skyrocketing in price. We have no defined objective for this war. We have no idea when it's going to end, but we have not won enough, I guess? Question mark? Because what do the American people say when they're looking at their pocketbooks, when they're looking at what's happening, when they're looking at how they're going to pay their bills, do they say, oh no, I think we won enough? Like, mercy. Like, when do we say that?
Have you owned the libs enough? We get it. Okay. You win. You win, win, win. This going back and forth has gotten criticism, not only from you and I, Jamie. I know sometimes it feels like we're shouting on our lawn into a void, but other people are starting to criticize this too. Senator Mark Kelly, who you may remember Pete Hegseth has gone after, Senator Mark Kelly, who's a Democratic senator from Arizona, said there's basically no goals in this war. Cut nine, please.
Yeah, they don't have a plan. I don't think there was a strategic goal here. And you know, they're flailing around. So no goal, no timeline. What that leads to is just more U.S. service members in a really, really challenging spot.
And Mark Kelly would know. He's a decorated veteran. He served his time. He was in the Middle East, so he would kind of know. Alicia chiming in over in our YouTube chat today saying the strength of our military has nothing to do with the political party.
Right.
It is all training. The fact that Trump accredited a political party to our power is disgusting. But that's what he bases his power on, right? He bases his view of himself and the United States in this world.
He's the commander-in-chief, Jamie. He runs the show. He's the boss of the military. So by osmosis, he has become mighty and ferocious and the best in the world, which, again, false.
Now, what I think we should also worry about, especially here in Wisconsin and across the country, but we do have a lot of military families in this state. Trump's team has tried to soothe people who are very anxious that the war will not be long and drawn out, even though he's insisted that he hasn't insisted on anything. We don't know what the timeline is. But he has insisted that they aren't going to, that he has not ruled out, I should say, that the use of ground troops. Cut 10, please.
What are the circumstances where you'd send in ground troops? How are you thinking about that?
I don't even want to talk about it now. I mean, it's, I don't think it's an appropriate question. You know, I'm not going to answer it.
Could there be? Possibly, for very good reason. Have to be very good reason. And I would say if we ever did that, they would be so decimated that they wouldn't be able to fight at the ground level.
If you're a military family, how does that make you feel right now? Hearing him say, I don't know. I don't really know if that's going to be what we do.
Again, it will be the same. A decision on deployment is going to be the same as the decision to bomb. What does Israel want? What does Jared and Pete, what do they say to him? Because he has no ability to listen to either the military leaders or the intelligence community, he makes these decisions, and our men and women are just the pawns in his game and his need for control and his need for power. And he's going to do what he wants, and the lives of those service members be damned.
We've already lost seven. Hundreds have been wounded, some seriously wounded. There's been thousands of civilian lives lost. Here in this country, we're worried if you're a service member and you're a service member family, are you going to be deployed? We're watching our prices on basically everything across the board skyrocket. And we basically get, I don't know.
I don't know, and we're winning. So don't believe what you look when you look in your wallet. Don't believe it. Believe what you're being told. But listen, Jamie, here's the good news. He's buying everybody shoes. Everybody, you get a shoe, and you get a shoe, and you get a shoe. We'll talk about it when we come back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Now back to more of Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Nicely done, Parker. It is 8:52 right now. You are listening to Daybreak on the Civic Media Network. I am Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. I wish he was giving people blue suede shoes. At least that that story would be great. If you haven't heard it and if you haven't seen the pictures, do yourself a favor. When this show is over, get on your computer and Google President Trump Marco Rubio shoes. And you will howl with delight as we did. President Trump is reportedly fascinated with his favorite shoe, a black Florsheim dress shoe. It's a lace-up. You've seen it. He wears it all the time. Well, Now he is such a fan. And by fan, I'm wondering, you know, I'm sure Florsheim he's getting these on the cuff.
Right.
But he it's Waco Group. They're based in Glendale, Wisconsin. That's one of the reasons we're talking about this, other than the fact that it's ridiculous. So he loves these shoes. He has reportedly boxes and boxes of these shoes in the Oval Office that he gives because he criticizes his cabinet's shoe decisions.
Yeah.
He wants everybody to wear these shoes. The problem is he doesn't say, hey, what size are you, Marco? He just guesses. And as with most of his impetuous moves, the guesses don't always pay off. So yesterday, pictures came out of Marco Rubio wearing shoes that had to be two sizes too big.
Yeah.
His feet were way up front. There was all this room in the back.
They were way too big around the ankles. It didn't matter how tight he laced those suckers. You were never getting those to fit properly around your ankles ever. It looked like
Daddy gave me these shoes. Daddy gave me, and I want to wear the shoes that Daddy gave me because he loves me.
And according to people around the White House, Trump sometimes not only guesses the shoe size, but then he also pressures them to wear these shoes, making them throw out their well-fitted designer shoes as well because he wants them in the Florsheim shoes. Now, here's the irony. Here's the irony of all of this, right? Florsheim shoes. You mentioned, Brian, out of Glendale, Wyco Group. The company that is making the president's favorite shoes is also suing the president and his administration over tariffs.
Haven't heard about it.
Florsheim is a historic brand founded back in 1892, part of the Milwaukee area now. The company says that it paid millions of dollars in tariffs, including at one point 145% tariffs on shoes imported from where? China. So Florsheim shoes, great shoes. We love a Wisconsin company.
Yes.
Like other companies, they are having China make their product, which I believe this president is fully against.
I know why they don't look like Chinese shoes, Jamie. They're not red satin. They don't curl up in the front. I think those are Mongolian shoes. I don't know. Either way, I'm not dressed like the genie. These are nice black shoes. They hold my lifts in very well and puff out my swollen ankles. They make me look very svelte.
Now, the other irony of this is politically, the Wyco company, their leadership has also supported Democratic candidates, including Kamala Harris in 2024.
I don't wear the radical shoes.
So the fact that he is giving these shoes out and making his cabinet wear shoes that are obviously too large for their tiny little feet, and the fact that he comes from a Wisconsin company that opposed the policies and is now suing the administration. You can't make this stuff up.
You can't. Just listen, there's no shade at Florsheim.
No.
Florsheim is a really good
Great quality shoe,
but it's an affordable dress shoe.
Yes.
It's like the ones he's given out are about $145,
right,
which I know is a lot of money, but if you're looking for good dress shoes, it's not. And that's why it's like, for all his look how rich I am, anybody could have these shoes. It's not, nothing fancy. They're not designer shoes. They're not really super high-end dress shoes.
No.
They're a quality,
they're a good
utilitarian
quality shoe.
Dress shoe that looks fine. So I don't want to, I'm not trying to downplay Florsheim. I'm just like, this guy who's all about the money and stature and stuff, he's wearing just a regular shoe, and now he wants everybody. Is it more palatable, he thinks, to have everybody dress in navy blue suits and the same black Florsheims than actually putting them in military uniforms? Because you know he just wants a little army like all these other dictatorial countries.
Again, I think it goes back to the fact that he doesn't want anybody to be better dressed than him. So if they all look like him, it's, you know, if you have that utilitarian look, we're all looking like the president, so therefore nobody can be, because here's the thing, at the end of the day,
But Pete snaps it up with the, Pete goes with the pocket
squares. But that's a flag. So
it is a flag.
That is a flag.
Right. Okay.
But for this president, who we know is just a little vain, just a little, right? We've seen it again over and over. He's just a little, he's got that vanity streak through him. In this is a much younger cabinet that's around him, and there's, you know, probably to him some very handsome young men. We don't want them to look better than the president or be dressed sharper than the president. ZZ Top, sharp dressed man, comes to mind.
We got a text in. You must stuff the toe box to keep the foot at the rear of the shoe. I usually buy shoes that fit. So I try not to go, you know what, I'm going to grow into these. I've stopped growing into shoes after about five. So now, but you are correct. That is how you do it. But I don't want, listen, if you have to stuff the toes, obviously you're not man enough to wear my shoes. So just put them on and suffer, Marco.
Marco looked, if you have a chance to find these photos online, the man looked so uncomfortable. Because I'm sure, plus his shoes were too big, so there's that point where you have to like curl your toes to probably walk if you don't have the paper stuffed in.
And the size of Marco, you know he buys his shoes in the kids department. So if he got a man-sized shoe, it's like, oh, no, I'm gonna be swimming in these boats.
Just
wear the box.
There's a part of me that just thinks the president probably buys the same size shoe.
Everybody wears the same size.
The same size as him, right?
Like too big, too small, doesn't matter. These are the best size. Everybody tells me, sir, these are the best size shoes you could ever have.
I wonder.
Go with an 11-3-3E because you got a fat foot and an average foot, and that's great.
But it's
above average.
Anybody's ever going to tell him about Florsheim and the connection to Wisconsin and tariffs. Never mind.
I'd love to be a bottle of ketchup in the office when that came down. Well, we've done it again, Jamie. We've managed to fill 3 hours and still get a couple laughs while we were talking about all the things. But we'll do it all again tomorrow. Thank you for listening. Thank you for jumping in. We will talk to you again tomorrow. I'm Brian Noonan.
I'm Jamie Martinson, 8:59 Pacific Media
Network. The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.